Good evening. I'd like to call this Planning Commissioner of the City of Irvine to order. Could the recording secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Pearson.
Present.
Commissioner Wayne.
Here.
Chair Pro Tem Smith.
Here.
Vice Chair Carroll.
Here.
Chair Nurschel is absent tonight. The record will show that we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you, recording secretary. Could you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Director or Deputy Director, are there any introductions for this evening?
No introductions.
Okay. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to move to public comments. Mr. Recording Secretary, do we have any public comments? Is that on the screen there?
Yeah, we do have one. Is it showing now?
Great. It is. Thank you. Okay, great. Can I please ask Mr. Darwish to come on up to the lectern, please?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. One second, let me have a little bit of a show and tell. All right. Thank you for the time. This is my first time addressing the Planning Commission, so apologize for any missteps in protocol. I wanted to come here today and really ask the Planning Commission's help to resolve an issue that's a little bit of a retro problem here. So created back in 1998. So kind of going back in time a bit, but it's an issue, unfortunately, that's creating some problems for a community in Irvine, which I live in. Staff report I believe is on your desks there, February 1998. This actual staff report, copies of which you see in the section that in question is marked for you. You'll see it in, there's a little red marker. Unfortunately, that section which states parking is prohibited within the private court areas is not sufficiently really clarifying the significance of the issue. Unfortunately, that small phrase does not really address the intended significance of the statement, in my opinion, and the meaning requires further clarification and possibly a definition or maybe a diagram to ensure that the problem gets addressed. I had also sent an email to the Planning Commission back on March 27th to the City of Irvine Planning Commission email address. Not sure if that was went through or not, but I'm here today to kind of really elaborate a little bit more on it. So presently, due to the unclear nature of this situation in the staff report, there's 56 impacted units within my community. I'm one of them. 56 units that are actually benefiting, 91 units that are impacted, which I'm one of. And this is really due to a misinterpretation of that small phrase within the staff report that says parking is prohibited within the private court areas. If you look at the presentation, this is what the actual area is here, that these are six-unit clusters, and the private court is really this area here you see in between them. Now, this area is basically closed off. There's only one entrance to it. The associations are allowing parking on two separate sides of it, so the top here and the bottom one, and that's what's creating the issue. So the staff report, having that language in there should have been sufficient, but because there's no real diagram or anything additional, there's a lot of interpretation, including, you know, me going to the association and even going through the process of having an attorney for them look at it, and they came back basically with that it's too unclear and that they can basically interpret it however they want. So the issue itself is, to kind of showcase a little bit more, this is the community. These are some examples that you see of the actual obstructions that are created. Another one here kind of shows it a little bit more in detail. It's a wide shot, so it doesn't clearly illustrate how narrow this area is, but the parking is on both sides of this small courtyard area, and it's causing the issue. Where looking at actually another development by the same developer in Tustin, they had the foresight to put a sign up in that area as well. So it's the same setup of a six-unit cluster. However, they designated the whole area as no parking, as I believe the staff report from the city of Irvine intended. But because of there's no sign and no clear indication, it gets misinterpreted and misappropriated in a way. So this is the city of Tustin development. You can see it's very similar to the one I showed. And this is the same information I sent in the to the Planning Commission email address, which hopefully you can retrieve. And it shows you kind of the issue, how it's avoided in this Tustin community and how it's present in the community that I live in. So just some examples of the issue. You can kind of see it's very narrow. My garage exit is backing right into cars that are parked right there. And if they just move a few inches, they basically block me, or they block the adjacent neighbor's access to their backyard access. You see the trash cans there. There's no way really to get them out. Even when they back out, there's not enough horizontal room to actually get in and out. So it blocks two units. For each parking situation, it blocks two units. So there's technically four units impacted, two units benefiting. So to be brief, I've been actually exhaustively working with the HOA for this issue, and like I mentioned, the HOA has pushed back and said it's too broad and they can interpret it the way they want. In addition, my HOA has members, unfortunately, on the board that benefit from this situation, so it's even more difficult to enforce it or to try to have them see the intended intended meaning of the staff report. And really, that's kind of where I'm asking for the Planning Commission's help, is to hopefully allow the city to look into this a little bit further and clarify on the actual staff report, maybe with a diagram or some additional information to show what that meaning was for the statement of parking is prohibited within the private courts. So in closing, respectfully ask the Planning Commission to revisit this matter and hopefully amend the staff report with a clear definition of the private court area, and if possible, to follow the example of the city of Tustin, which has the same development by the same developer, and maybe require a sign to be posted, so eliminating the misconception, misinterpretation, et cetera, of this parking area. So thank you again for your time, and on behalf of the all impacted homeowners, which I'm now kind of leading this effort for, we ask you to really look into this, please, and tell us what the appropriate next steps are.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jarvis. Are there other members of your community as well here?
No, but I can, I have, I've started a website for them, and we have a few with multiple issues, and they've illustrated the same thing I've discussed. So I'm more than happy to give the commission a full list of all the problems and people that are actually associated or connected to it now.
Great, thank you. And I think we'll just note that you know, as a planning commissioner, there are a lot of things that we look at regarding from an approval process. This seems like it was something that was previously approved, a track map, and I would imagine from a staff perspective, a community development department, and from us as a commission, that everything that the builder and the developer had done would probably went through the hoop in terms of all the requirements with respect to zoning and otherwise. But it sounds like there's a real problem on your hands. I appreciate you and thank you on behalf of the commission and the city for coming forward. You have a lot of material there. I think I probably speak for my fellow commissioners when I say that if my garbage cans were blocked by a car like that on Friday, tomorrow morning when I get my pickup, I don't know what I would do, and I know what my wife would do. It would be very unhappy with me because it would be my fault. So thank you seriously very much, and I will myself just take that offline with our team here at Community Development and make sure that that you're responded to. So thanks for coming out tonight. Absolutely. I'd like to move, if there are any other further public comments, recording secretary? Okay, thank you. I'd like to move to item commission business and item one, the approval of the minutes. The action is to adopt the minutes of the regular planning commission meeting held on March 7th, 2019, and commissioners have had a chance to review, there would be a motion in order.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. So moved by Commissioner Smith and seconded by Commissioner Pearson. Please vote.
Motion passes 4-0.
Great. Thank you very much. The next item is an approval of environmental document for the University Drive widening project improvements, Ridgeline Drive to the Interstate 405 project.
Mr. Chair, I think we've got another set of minutes first.
Oh, thank you, Commissioner Smith. That's correct. I skipped to item two there. Approval of the minutes for the other meeting, the minutes of the regular Planning Commission meeting held on March 21st, 2019. Is there a motion?
Can I speak on this before we make a motion?
Oh, yes, please do.
Staff was a little unclear on the motion that was made for item four. It was the Spectrum Center signs. I originally put in the minutes that Interstate 405 freeway-facing sign shall have no more than five tenants' names. After speaking with Commissioner Carroll to clarify his motion, it now reads, the I-405 freeway-facing pylon sign and SR-133 freeway-facing pylon sign shall have no more than five tenants' names.
All right, thank you. Thank you, David, very much for that. With that change to the minutes, is there a motion? Okay, thank you, Commissioner. And a second by Commissioner Wong. Great, we have a motion and a second on the minutes for the meeting March 21, 2019. Please vote. Great, thank you. 4-0. Thank you. The next item on the commission business is the approval of environmental document for the University Drive widening improvements, Ridgeline Drive to I-405 project. And apparently we have a presentation by our staff.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Melissa Dugan, and I'm a supervising transportation analyst in our transportation department. And I'm here to discuss the university widening project between Ridgeline and the I-405. So the project is located on the westbound direction, so the south side of the roadway, between Ridgeline Drive and the I-405 southbound ramps, including the intersection with Michelson Drive. It currently provides two lanes of travel in the eastbound direction. It's identified in the Orange County Transportation Authority's master plan of arterial highways and our general plans as a six-lane roadway north of, from Michelson North, and at the 405 freeway it becomes Jeffrey Road and is six lanes for the remainder. The project will widen the eastbound direction again from two to three lanes. It will begin at Ridgeline Drive, which is shown on the left side, where it will connect with the existing intersection improvement project. That intersection is currently under final design, about to be completed. It will, this figure shows from Ridgeline to Michelson, the project will continue to the I-405 southbound ramps, where the roadway is already three lanes. In addition to widening the roadway, it will also provide an improved ADA-compliant access from the University Trail to the sidewalk adjacent to the roadway near the ramps. It will not make any changes to the westbound or the north side of the roadway. And other than the ADA-compliant connection, it will also not make any changes to the existing University Trail. An initial study and mitigated negative declaration was prepared to analyze any potential environmental impacts per the California Environmental Quality Act guidelines. The MND found the project had no significant impacts, with some mitigation measures to be implemented along with construction. The draft MND was released for public review on November 8th of 2018. The public notice of preparation was included in the Irvine World News, mailed to all residences within 500 feet of the proposed project area, and posted at the city public notice locations. The public review period ended on December 13th, which is actually a little longer than the required 30 days, but we wanted to allow extra time for the Thanksgiving break. All correspondence from the public and other agencies was considered and addressed in the final ISMND, which is being presented here tonight. Because this is a transportation project, it was also presented to Transportation Commission on March 5th, where they recommend City Council approve the resolution adopting the MND. The next steps on the project are to finish the final design, which is currently underway. It is moved up a little faster than usual, meaning it's running concurrently with this planning phase to allow for construction to be completed ahead of the original schedule and hopefully in conjunction with the Ridgeline intersection project, so we don't have two separate construction periods. We currently have it in the budget that will be approved by council next month, so there is construction funding available for it, and we will also be applying for an OCTA grant to pay for the improvement project. It wasn't able to obtain OCTA funding for this year because it didn't have the clearance 100% completed, but we feel that it could be successful next year. So the exact timing of the construction will be dependent upon the financing. And with that, the recommended action is that you recommend City Council adopt a resolution adopting the mitigated negative declaration for the university widening improvements from Ridgeline to I-405. And that concludes my presentation, but I'm available for any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Melissa, for the presentation on this item. Do we have any speakers or any public comments? No, none at this time. Okay, I'd like to open it up our commissioners for their comments on this item regarding the widening project, and I would like to yield to Commissioner Smith.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple of brief questions, and I'm going to be referring, well, first of all, let me ask, the Ridgeline Drive and University Drive intersection improvement projects, what is the schedule on those, and how do they dovetail with this particular project? I think your mic is off.
That one works. Okay, sorry about that. The Ridgeline at University intersection improvement project, I believe, is at about 99%. So it's just waiting for a couple of signatures and the design will be completed. It's ready to go to construction in fiscal year 1920. So our hope is to have this one ready to go with it. So again, it's kind of one continuous construction project instead of one and then get it finished and then the second one. But that one's actually ahead of this one. We sped this one up to try and catch up to that one.
Yeah, the reason for the question was looking at page 192 of the EIR, and nobody needs to turn there. But if you take a look at the level of service for that intersection with the project and without the improvements of the intersection, it actually fails. It becomes an F. And I just wanted to ensure that, in fact, before we pass on this, that those intersection improvements would either coincide with or be ahead, because the good news is that it goes from a present E right now, both AM and PM, to a C and a B, which is a wonderful improvement. But without those intersection improvements, it gets worse. So thank you for allaying my fears on that one. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, great. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Pearson.
The average daily trips or the peak hour trips, have they increased the traffic on Ridgeline going into Turtle Rock?
This project does not intend to or want to increase traffic in any way. The traffic volumes on the current roadway exceed not only the existing two lanes, but even the three lane capacity. So it shouldn't increase. We're just trying to get the cars that are already there, through the area.
If we project a smoother traffic flow, did we look at the potential of cross-town traffic that is coming from the southwest Newport Beach area? Going through Turtle Rock, impacting the various locations there, and the current stop sign at the full intersection of Turtle Rock Drive, and Ridgeline?
We didn't specifically do an analysis to include that. We have traffic models that potentially do that. That's kind of the catch-22 of any intersection improvement project, is if we make it a lot better, then new cars could come and get on it, and but we have to move forward with doing the best we can. And so our traffic model does assume regional traffic. It would assume some percentage of shifts, because things like that do tend to happen. But as far as manually hand calculating, I think a car will come from here to here, no. But the model would account for that at some level, yes. So it's something we looked at. But again, the intent isn't to add traffic. We just have to account for that there could potentially be some shifts, but we don't feel that they would be significant anywhere.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to recognize Commissioner Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Dugan, just a quick question. In your presentation, you alluded to construction is scheduled for 2019 to 2021. And as Commissioner Smith has asked, inquired earlier, you responded that this project will dovetail on the intersection project at Ridgeline and University. Do we know the... Is there an estimated construction time frame in the actual building time for both questions, so we can estimate how the neighbors will be inconvenienced at this point?
I wish I had a really good answer, and I'm afraid I just don't. We're trying to work that out, right? And Public Works kind of is taking that on, and it is an issue. One of the problems is the funding on this. We were hoping would have gotten OCTA funding, so now the decision has to be made. Do we push the funding for this? Do we slow the Ridgeline down to wait for this? And I'm afraid I don't believe those decisions have been made at this point.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, our task today is the approval of and pushing this EIR forward.
It is my understanding, Commissioner, is that we are recommending to City Council that they adopt the MND document that would actually greenlight the project from that perspective. Is that right, Ms. Dugan?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's a resolution of recommendation
right.
to the council. Great. Okay. If there's, I would just add to the fellow commissioners. This is seems like this project that's a long time coming, perhaps as long as 10 years, and as someone who uses that area very frequently, it is a difficult area to use after 3 p.m. 3:30 p.m. on a weekday, particularly. Coming from the community area of Concordia, Turtle Rock, and I would imagine the parts of University Park, and it is an area, quite frankly, to avoid at that time. So this is a much welcome improvement to our city, and I think it's a great step forward, so I would be in support of it if there was a motion. Yes, Commissioner Pearson.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to... recommend the approval and a resolution to the City Council of the City of Irvine adopting the mitigated negative declaration for the University Widening Improvements Ridgeline to 405 project.
Great, thank you. Is there a second?
I second Commissioner Pearson's motion, and this is a much needed project. Time to move forward.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. So we have a motion from Commissioner Pearson, seconded by Commissioner Wong. I think it's time to vote. Great. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for the presentation. We'll now move to the public hearings portion of our agenda. the first item on that segment of our agenda is the zoning ordinance and municipal code technical update. I'd like to ask if there is a staff presentation on this item. I believe there is.
There's no formal staff presentation on this. Our recommendation is to have the commission continue this item to its May 2nd meeting. Staff needed some additional time to prepare the appropriate amendments. So we're looking for the commission motion to move to continue.
Okay, thank you, Deputy Director. And I also would like to open the public hearing on this item for that purpose. Are there any public speakers Mr. Recording Secretary, not at this time, okay. Then I would go ahead and just move that we can continue the public hearing until May 2, 2019.
Second that.
Great, thank you, Commissioner. So motion by myself, second by Commissioner Pearson. Please vote.
Motion passes 4-0.
Great, thank you very much. The next item is a conditional use permit for a new materials recovery facility located at 16221 Construction Circle East in Planning Area 36, the Irvine Business Complex. And I believe we do have a staff report at this time.
Thank you, Vice Chair Carroll. Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Stephanie Frady with Community Development. I'm joined by Joel Building. To begin, the one-acre project site outlined in red is located in the 5.2 IBC Industrial Zoning District. The entirety of this district is shaded in blue on your slide. The site currently contains an office trailer and is used as a landscaping business. There's minimal site landscaping, and site access is provided by two driveways. The intent of the 5.2 zoning district is to preserve a viable industrial base in the IBC to protect non-industrial land uses from the nuisances and hazards often associated with industrial activities by establishing an exclusively industrial district. The area designated for this district has historically been exclusively industrial and is currently unsuitable for most non-industrial uses like residential and retail. Surrounding uses on Construction Circle include several ready-mixed concrete facilities, auto repair and storage, green waste recycling, and the Sunset Environmental Garbage Transfer Station. This slide includes a photo of the site's frontage. As you will see, there are two entrance driveways to the right and left of the photograph. I'd also like to point out the large machinery for the adjacent ready-mixed concrete facilities that is visible on the right side of the photo to kind of get a scope and scale of other industrial uses in the area. Proposed site improvements include demolition of the existing manufactured structure on site, the installation of a 160 square foot office trailer called a scale house on your plans, placement of concrete block storage bunkers, the addition of site fencing, and restriping parking. The project also includes an increase in landscaping along the site's exterior perimeter to provide greater than 15% site coverage. A materials recovery facility is defined as a processing facility that accepts recyclable materials and processes these materials into resaleable condition. The applicant, Chandler Sand and Gravel, will operate Mondays through Saturdays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., and anticipates a maximum of 3 employees on site per day. Materials accepted at the site would include earth, rock, sand, gravel, concrete, grass, brick, tile, etc., all of which are required to be non-hazardous. Materials collected will be inspected and weighed, processed down to a size that can be loaded onto material hauling trucks, then transferred to another facility in Southern California. Best management practices will be employed to preserve all materials on site and prevent track out and dust creation. This slide includes a proposed site plan. Construction Circle is to the bottom of this slide. As you will see, the trucks will enter the site on the right-hand side and queue in the orange box. That's where they will encounter the scale house or office, and the trucks will be weighed at that time. The truck route shown on the site plan loops around. There's a processing area as well as the material storage areas at the rear of the site. And trucks will continue off the site via the second driveway. The parking area will be placed at the front of the site to allow for any public or employee parking. The project analysis of the conditional use permit before you included review of noise impacts, it reviewed IBC trip budget for the site. The project includes a parking study that was included as an attachment to your staff report. It also looked at compliance with the city's waste diversion goal and how this project helps meet that goal. I'm happy to discuss any of these items with you in detail should you have any questions. Public notice for the project was sent out earlier this month to surrounding owners and occupants. Staff did receive one email regarding the project, and it was forwarded to you yesterday and should be on your dais tonight. The project is consistent with the zoning ordinance development standards, and staff supports the project due to the location in a unique area of the city, which is specifically planned for this type of use, as well as its proximity to other similar uses and the beneficial nature of the services rendered. In conclusion, staff recommends the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 19-3728, approving CUP 00761841 PCPU for a materials recovery facility located in the construction circle area of the Irvine Business Complex. This concludes my presentation. I am available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for the presentation on this item. I'd like to go ahead and just open the public hearing. I do see one speaker, Mr. James Davis.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't have much preparation, exactly an hour or so. First of all, my name's James Davis, and I own a body shop in Irvine for the last 20 years. And we wanted to express our issues in opposition to this proposal. With the high levels of dust and concrete and mess in the air currently in the construction area, adding one more to this seems ridiculous. Poor air quality control impacts our customers. Roughly, the automotive industry has, just in that construction circle, we do roughly about 600 cars a month for the city of Irvine. Repair high-end cars that have to be rewashed over and over again, which cause employees and small businesses to do extra repairs. And we're certainly not blaming the new people coming in, but we have enough on our hands in construction circle that we're trying to fix right now. We've had several meetings trying to clean up construction circle. It's kind of, I think it's the black eye of Irvine that we're trying to clean up right now. So I think adding one more to it without looking at, you know, maybe some other solutions to fixing what we currently have in there before we start adding more onto it, just basically fixing what we have. We have employees to be concerned about, customers to be concerned about, and we just want to make sure that the air quality is safe. I've heard all the air quality things, but the reality of it is trying to get a hold of these large companies when you're a small company is next to impossible. We've contacted Irvine. We've taken videos of dust clouds and everything else. These large trucks, they impact everything. Trying to get around these large trucks through the circle, the circle's more than congested already. We just feel that something like this should be looked into a little bit deeper than it is. We have food trucks that are there. We have people that live in the circle. And we still have large clouds after 20 years floating around throughout construction circles. So I just want to say that I think we're a little premature before we start adding more construction places or more concrete. I don't know that there's a real shortage in Irvine for concrete mixing or anything else of that nature. I didn't do all the reports. This is purely what I see from our customer standpoint, from our employee standpoint. I'd ask you to take some time, look at it, drive through construction circle, and tell me if I'm not the craziest guy in Irvine for the last 20 years. So that's just my 10 cents. And I speak on behalf of this small group that we've got together that we've been trying to clean up the circle on our own, trying to kind of police ourselves just to try to clean it up a little bit more. So I just ask that you look at it a little bit stronger and maybe come down on the other ones before we start adding more. It makes no sense to add more people to the team if we don't have a good plan. So, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Davis, for your comments. I'd like to go ahead and, there are additional speakers right now for the public. I'd like to go ahead and turn to the commission for comments and questions. Oh, Commissioner Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Stephanie, I've got just a couple of quick questions for you, and I'll save my comments for the end. one of the facilities that's most visible there in terms of recycling materials is, I think it's still referred to as Uhl's Materials. I don't know if it's changed names or not, but it has a large tower and a number of conveyors, and I guess Uhl's isn't there anymore. it was in the area of identified as Robert's Ready Mix. Actually, it's right up against Warner, so maybe it is. I guess it leads to the question, is there going to be large-scale vertical equipment on this site to accomplish the recycling, or is it all at ground level?
The applicant has indicated that the following types of equipment will be on site. The largest of these pieces will be the materials screening machine. Dimensions.
Oh, no, that's okay. I don't need the dimensions.
Okay.
I was just...
Not in the scale of the other.
Yeah, the other is permanent installations. These are obviously smaller machines in scale, mobile as opposed to in-the-ground type equipment. So we're not going to see anything that's going to be towering 30, 40, 50 feet above ground then?
No.
Okay. Second question, just regarding IBC fees, there's a passing reference to, or a reference to IBC fees in the report. Can you tell me real quickly what kind of IBC fees that they would be responsible for should this be approved?
Sure. The IBC fee that's going to apply is the transportation improvements fee. That would apply just based on an office rate. There's 160 new square feet on site, so there will be charged at the rate of $7.24 dollars per square foot.
Okay. And I know it's a small amount. I was just curious because there is some sort of an office on site already, and I noticed that was going to be all of the existing sheds and such are going to be demolished. If they were not building any more square footage than what existed on the site previously, would they still be responsible for IBC fees?
The reason why they're being assessed fees is because we're looking at this scale house as a permanent structure. What's on site right now is a manufactured structure, which is temporary in nature and not really intended to be there for more than 2 years. So in that case, we wouldn't have counted that square footage that exists on site right now.
Okay, and this house, did I read correctly, or maybe I misinterpreted? I thought this was a portable building as well.
Technically, but it's not allowed to be because the intent of the applicant is for it to remain on site for more than 2 years, which is the life we allow for a temporary structure. So this site will have a foundation, it will have plumbing, et cetera.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Pearson.
Thank you. This is a difficult issue. We've got an area within the city of Irvine that has been identified as a industrial use location. We've currently brought and allowed numerous heavy industry type uses in this site, in this area, with additional softer uses like Mr. Davis has talked about. And the zoning and land use of the general plan allows this type of an situation. The trips that are coming in appear to be minimal. The use is consistent with our own codes attempting to recycle product. I'm not sure what other locations within the city a use like this could actually land. Now, after saying all that, we've got businesses within this area that are attempting to clean it up. They've got air quality issues. We've got, you know, I won't say a non-compatible use, but the original industrial use was for what the majority of these property owners have put it to work as. So I guess the question is, number one, if Mr. Davis has been attempting to, you know, identify air quality issues, dust issues, particulate matter, is this a code enforcement issue based upon the zoning? I don't see how we can, you know, actually, as a planning commission, not abide by the recommendation of staff to move forward with the approval, since everything with the conditions are written, have been written to mitigate the use. But I still have the issue of the other uses that are being theoretically harmed. And, you know, it's difficult for me, although on paper it's an appropriate use, it's improving the area, it's increasing the landscaping. You know, I guess if we could have, you know, the offloading of the trucks and the sorting and screening, you know, using misters or something to mitigate the dust component, you know, and I'm not sure how that operation would work, but I truly feel that, you know, it's very difficult not to approve what we're looking at.
Mr. Chair, forgive me for interrupting, but I think my comment here about the history of this may put some of this in perspective.
Yeah, please do.
There is and I think it's still in force, a separate development agreement for this area that was adopted by the City Council in the 90s, recognizing the need for some kind of an area for what I'll call dirty industry. And it specifically states in that development agreement, there will be uses like this. And the whole point of adopting that was to make sure that the industries that were doing recycling, that were doing ready mix, that were doing like Sunset Materials is as a transfer station, were not negatively impacted by a potential legal action or a claim by housing that may follow nearby at a future date. We understood at the time there was nothing there. There was no district. There was none of the residential that is nearby on the other side of San Diego Creek. It sat by itself, but we knew long term that this was something that was necessary. And so that's why the council put that development agreement in place, so that businesses like this would have a place to go. And I'm assuming that everybody who is on Construction Circle has access to that development agreement and understands it's in addition to the zoning and the ordinance and everything else that exists, strictly for the protection of businesses like this, which is why this particular kind of business is very appropriate in that, and was decided so by the council 20 plus years ago. Sorry for interrupting.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay.
I understand that, and that's part of the dilemma. But as sitting at this position, I have a difficult time not saying that it is appropriate use, that it is, I don't want it in my residential backyard. So therefore, as Commissioner Smith has said, the city in its foresight identified an area that would be heavy industrial, and those people with non-heavy clean uses that have moved into it should have been aware of the situation when they did. So that's what I'm done.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to recognize Commissioner Wong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stephanie, quick question for you. In the report, I believe I read that it's estimated to have 30 or 31 truck load per day at this facility. Is that correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay, so that just an estimate. Does that put a limit on how many trucks they can bring, or can the applicant increase truckload in the future?
They actually do not. They do have a limit. They were required to place a trip generation table on their project plans, which calls out a maximum number of trips per day in accordance with their trip budget for this specific site. And a condition of approval is included in the resolution, which calls back to that table and says, should they want to revise that table in the future, they're going to need a modification to this CUP.
Okay, so 30 or 31 at this point will be the max, no matter what.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Question for staff, for Stephanie and Joel, with regard to our public speaker tonight on, I guess that is the adjacent site. What types of things will the applicant be required to do within the four corners of what, you know, the construction circle development agreement calls for, as far as what Commissioner Pearson was talking about spraying or things that are going to minimize, you know, as much as possible, the degradation of the air quality from dust and other, you know, matter in the air.
I'm going to direct you to the applicant. They also control other similar sites, and they'll tell you what their best practices are.
Great, thank you.
Hello, Commission. My name is Jeff Barron. I work for Chandler Sand and Gravel, the applicant. For dust mitigation, we do use misters around the conveyors at the end of the screening plants. What that allows to do is keep the particulate on the ground. The other thing we will also have on site is an on-site sweeper, and that sweeper will be sweeping on and off during the day. So any loose dust or anything that is on the ground should be picked up by the end of the day. These are also some of the best management practices we do at our Wilmington facility and our facilities out in Corona. We take these issues very seriously, since they have been issues that we've been dealing with since we've started. These sprayers, again, it's a high pressure sprayer that creates an atomized water dispensed water circle that will encapsulate the dust particles that come off our equipment. Outside of that, we water down the materials that come in, and that water itself keeps the dust down. Are there any other questions in regards to our operations?
Yeah, and thank you, by the way, for coming here tonight as applicant and for coming forward to speak on this. And I'm guessing possibly, Commissioner Wong, do you have some questions for our applicant? Oh. Commissioner Pearson or
no.
Smith? Okay. Great. Well, thank you for the clarification. Appreciate it.
You, commissioners, just to supplement and provide some assurance, we have measures in our municipal code that address nuisances such as dust migration and discharges off of sites of fluids, noxious materials. And so we have a separate enforcement mechanism in addition to their practices to ensure that they're providing the best possible standards. And also, we can potentially take aggressive corrective measures if necessary.
Let me put you on the spot, Joel, if I could. If you don't have a lot of information, that's okay. But you know, to the speaker and the adjacent landowner and, you know, car repair business, and some of the things we heard a little bit tonight, can you speak a little bit to that? I mean, it sounds like that does fly in the face a little bit of what you just said. I'm not trying to challenge you in a negative way. I just wanted to, are we getting issues from the actual, some of the landholders within Construction Circle that maybe we as a commission don't really, you know, just don't have visibility on?
So part of that enforcement process requires the city to be alerted to an issue that needs to be addressed. And so if there are existing issues that we're not aware of, then the first step is to begin that process. And certainly I'm happy to look into this after this meeting to if there are existing dust migration issues or discharges onto the street, then that first step is city awareness. And then that allows us the code enforcement process, the cleanup action, that process to start. But the first is the city needs to become aware. We're currently not in a hunting mode where we just drive around and look. It's a response-based system where we're alerted to certain local conditions, and then we have a standard process to address that.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the clarification on that, and maybe Mr. Davis, that's some instructive information for you as well. With that, if there are no additional public comments, and commissioners, if you, if no one else has anything additional to add, a motion would be in order at this time. Commissioner Smith?
Yeah.
Sorry, Commissioner, I apologize. I would like to close the public hearing. Commissioner Smith?
I'll move the adoption of resolution number 19-3728 as shown in our staff report.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I will second that.
Thank you, Commissioner. So we have a motion from Commissioner Smith and a second from Commissioner Pearson. So it would be in order at this time to vote, commissioners.
Motion passes 4-0.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you again to the applicant and to our speaker tonight for coming to our commission. With that, I'd like to turn to staff reports. Do we have any staff reports, Deputy Director?
No staff reports, sir.
Great. And commissioners, are there any planning commissioner reports?
No, just one quick item for everyone's consideration. My understanding is we're going to be going to iPads fairly soon, and which will relieve us of these books. One of the other things that I've learned is that these PowerPoints are very expensive to do because they're color. I mean, literally, like every meeting, $400 or $500. I'm not sure that they're actually necessary any longer. They were before we got before the council chambers were remodeled, but I just think we should perhaps think about that, particularly in a time of tight budgets. And I don't know how the rest of you feel, but we can discuss this at a later date, but maybe it's time for these to go away.
Commissioner Smith?
Commissioner Wong?
I assume you don't mean the PowerPoint itself, you mean the printout of the PowerPoint.
Just the printout of the PowerPoint, yes. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Commissioner Pearson, do you have anything to add on that?
Well, you know, I'm a real anal type of guy, and I like paper, and I enjoy marking everything up, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to understand how to do it on an iPad, but no, if it's costing that much money for every meeting, I agree with Commissioner Smith.
Well, I am the chairman of this meeting, and I disagree with all of you. I am, and sorry to be the curmudgeon of this August group up here, commissioners, but I'm hoping that this is an opt-out situation, and I'm sure we could talk to the director offline about that. And full disclosure, as a board member of 1OC, Volunteer Center of Orange County, we had the same issue a few years ago, and I was still being a pain, and that's a 501c3 nonprofit. Just something about having the actual stuff. I know you guys, you probably think I'm turning this in for like, you know, 5 cents for a pound or something. But I really do enjoy the tactile, and it's probably my background or whatever. But, you know, I won't stop you from getting these iPads. I just don't know how much I'm gonna be using that. I would just also add also that we've also talked to staff. Commissioner Wong and I've spoke to staff recently about the idea of going forward to take a look at some of these abandoned railroad spurs and rights of way in IBC as a possibility. I know Council Member Quo, I think, has said sort of the idea of, hey, could we look at that as open space? I don't know if the comparison to, you know, New York City's 11th Avenue, you know, 110-year-old elevated subway restoration is a good one, but we do have these rights away, and I think that the commissioner and myself will be taking a look at that in the next couple of weeks, just going on a tour. So I would just encourage, I know we can only go in twos, Chairman Nurschel have to go by himself. But I would just bring it up and let you both know here in the public forum. So with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Great, thank you. Meeting is adjourned at 6:26 p.m. Thank you.